Hey, Blinky. What's happening, mate?
Oh, well, I'm just trying to build some tech2 gear, but this damn feral gel is just way too expensive.
Ah, don't worry, mate, don't worry. I know a guy who can get it cheap. Hold on, I'll just call him.
Evening, gents. Flash Harry's the name, tech2 reactants the game. What'll it be?
You get your feral gel from this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he must be honest, though. He's part of Evoke. Anyway, nobody else in the galaxy can get it as cheap as he can.
Well, how can he get it that cheap?
Now, don't you be asking questions like that, Governor. Anyway, how much stuff do you want?
Well, how about...
Blimey, it's the Rozzers. Quick, Scarper!
I am Detective Inspector Lavista from the Council of Cell Management. You haven't seen a man selling cheap tech2 components, have you? We have reason to believe they may have been created illegally.
It's a fair cop, Governor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Warp Drive Active podcast. My name is Winterblink. This will be number 44 of our podcast, and we're recording this on January 10th, 2009, the very first podcast of 2009. And this year, I think that we should try something a little bit different. This year, I'm going to be doing this with a co-host and, ladies and gentlemen, Urban Mongrel.
What do you mean a co-host? I'm your arch nemesis.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Maybe you should let everyone know a little bit about yourself, Urban.
Well, there's nothing much to know. I basically live to make Blinky's life hell, and I feel I'm very successful in that.
Marginally, yes.
Oh, and
yes.
I say rude things about goons, but hey.
You wouldn't be the only one to do that kind of thing. But yes, it's been a while since we've been doing this, and we've been saying this every damn podcast that we've done for like the last four, but that's like 4 months worth of podcasts, right?
Yeah, we suck. The good news is, though, basically I was kind of forced into doing a support role at my job, which was involving literally 24/7 support at some stages. Right now I'm back on project work, so that does mean I'm going to have a bit more time and weekends off. Thank God.
Nice. Yeah, because it got busy for me as well there in November and December, especially. Project work as usual, unreasonable deadlines as usual, but as I sit here sipping on my Red Bull trying to wake up, I'm happy to report that I have met my deadline with time to spare, which is good. And the hilarity of it is now the client's going to have to read, and I'm not joking, a well over 400 page document. So thank you. Hopefully they will suffer as much reading that as I did actually writing it.
I hate to tell you this, dude. They never, ever actually read them. They demand it, but they never read them.
Oh, I know. No. This particular department from the client that we work at is horrible for it. We will actually get a request to make a change to system, and it'll be basically a 2 or 3 page document that we'll give them that'll just outline what we're doing, because it's really not that complex sometimes. And they won't read that. Like, we've had stuff go into acceptance testing where we've finished development. We've done all of our further requirements gathering, all that stuff. We finished development. We've gotten something coded, put it into the acceptance environment, and they try it, and they go, this isn't what we want. And it's like, well, this is what you told us you wanted. And they go, damn, because they didn't read the document. It's just ridiculous. So reading comprehension for the win, much like the internet's life is, I don't know, it's just ridiculous.
God. Stop reminding me of work. Yeah, let's talk about Eve, shall we? What have you been up to?
You beat me to it. Damn, I was going to ask you.
You first. So what have you been up to? Got any good tech2 gear recently? Tech2 components?
No. I've been, obviously, like I said, work's been pretty silly. So my Eve time has been drastically reduced. So I haven't been doing too much. I've been logging in, doing a few things, puttering around in Empire. Skilling, as usual. I haven't been doing a lot of frontline kind of combat stuff because I just have not had time. To even get into anything like that, just because I'm at home late and all this other stuff. But I've been keeping an ear to the ground in the general goings-on of EVE, and yeah, that whole business with the tech2 stuff is just insane. insane.
Tech 3.
We still don't know how far back it goes, right?
Oh, what are you talking about? I'm thinking of something else here. Yeah, Tech 2 stuff is... Well, they do, kind of. They know it must have started, like, pretty soon after Tech 2 came in the game. So we're talking 2004.
Well, their official time frame that they sort of mentioned... Not official answer, I should say. It's just an initial guesstimate. It's only a year or two back, but... they were at one point saying that they would have to... Well, yeah, at one point they were saying they would have to go back and restore more backups to identify how far back it truly goes back. Just not to say that the bug wasn't there, just to say how far back it was actually being exploited.
Yeah, well, the bug's been there for good. And I thought they couldn't actually look back in the database beyond a couple of years.
Well, I'm sure
they probably could, but is it worth the effort?
Yeah, there's a question. Don't ask the community that, because they'll just say yes. But, is it worth the effort now? I don't know.
Because, it's after Christmas, we're all fed up on turkey and stuff, or Icelanders, rotten shark, and, you're feeling a bit lazy, you don't really want to put yourself out. So 2 years, probably. Bit of sequel, no probs.
Yeah, I mean, there really hasn't been much rabblage about it yet, but I'm sure it's a matter of time before somebody starts going, so, hey... How's your investigation going? Blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, this stuff takes time, right? So I don't think we'll get a definitive answer for a while, if ever.
I think we'll get the definitive answer through CSM next time they have a big meeting about it. So, next time they're out in Iceland. And don't ask me when that is, because I know nothing.
Soon. That's coming up very soon, actually. I think it's this coming week or something.
I don't know.
If I remember correctly, it was like, yeah. So by the time you actually hear this podcast, they might actually be in the middle of their meetings. So, as I recall correctly, it was happening right away. So
maybe not till the next meeting will we find out the definitive answer of what happened then.
Yeah, exactly. They might raise the issue, but who knows what'll come out of it. I hear rumblings that there's, like, if you read some of the stuff that's going on in the CSM forum areas, that there's discussions of, more streamlined communication back to and from the people of Eve with the CSM, and to that extent, Ankh, what's her name? I can never pronounce her name. We'll just call her Ankh.
Ankh's good. Everybody knows who you're talking about here.
All right, yeah, because, either positively or negatively know what she's about. So she decided to make a wiki of some kind, apparently, by the notes, the log from their meetings that they've been having. I look at that and I say, what are you doing? Like... Use Evilopedia. That is the point of it. You can make your own content on there. Yeah, CCP has to approve it, but then we know that what's actually ends up being there is actually proper and decent. So, I don't know. Use what you've been given.
I disagree here.
I don't know, man.
I think you should have it moved across. Actually, from Evilopedia. And what am I talking about here? Let's start that again, because it was crazy. Right, what you should do is have your own wiki, which is completely separate from CCP. Very, it's not hard setting up a wiki. And that way people can no longer bitch about censorship or anything like that. Seems to me a good move.
Censorship? Dude, you can see exactly the edit history on anything on wiki. And if anyone in the community disagrees with it, they can even go in there and actually try and make their own, edits to it to bring it back up to snuff. I mean, I think it's got a little bit more, out there-ness, if it's there. And plus, part of the whole reason of this was, and even I think it was mentioned in the notes of the one meeting they did, where so people wouldn't have to go to 18 different places to actually find out details. Well, now, why not just bring it all under the same roof? You have the flexibility there. Okay, the approval business is probably the biggest issue, right? The lag time for CCP to actually approve articles. But that's really it. I don't know, Like, depending on who gets ownership of approval of those sections, it may be faster, it may be slower, who knows? I would say give it a try first instead of just panning it.
Firstly, you can find the official Eve wiki at wiki.eveonline.com. It's called the Evilopedia. It's a wiki. And typical of CCP, they haven't just done what normal people do, which is just, get media wiki or something set up, which is nice and free. They've gone and written their own. And, given how long this has been trailed for, this has taken them bloody years.
It has been a long time coming. I mean, part of that is obviously not just the actual making of the wiki, but designing how they want the content to sort of go into it. Plus, there's integration with the item database, and it's more current, like they're refreshing it a lot more often than obviously the ones on the website. So it'll eventually replace that, which is good. And again, this is still in an open beta form. The official release is not until later, which we'll talk about going into the discussion point stuff. But yeah, it's a little bit, came out a little bit sparse, of course, when they first turned it on. It's a wiki, you know.
That's what happened.
Big surprise there. Yeah, I mean, it's not a big surprise. But I kind of agree with you. It's been on the table for so long, I would have figured that they would have had it a little bit more, you know, would have had their own content moved in there. However, all that being said, what I do like is the Chronicles are in there. And they've actually, like, for art nuts like me, they actually have, like, the full-sized photos in there for the Chronicles, and they're pretty.
Oh, those are very cool, yeah. I mean, Bjorka did a load of them. It was just an awesome, awesome artist.
Yep. Oh, it's amazing stuff in there, dude. So that I do like, and I hope they continue with that for a lot of their content. It's not only just leaving the thumbnails there, but linking them to the full-sized originals. Not originals, but anyway, full-resolution shots. But I don't know. Give it a shot. I mean, if you like wikis, if you like contributing to wikis, that's definitely something that'll be up someone's alley. I mean, they kind of... The part that's lacking right now is the community section, because that's where they want to sort of take it, where you as maybe an alliance leader could make your alliance page in there, in which case someone's immediately going to flag it as biased, but whatever. So you can actually sort of market yourself, your corporation, your alliance, whatever, in the wiki, which is kind of a cool idea.
And there's a lot of cool ideas here. I mean, I'd like to get a lot more of the backstory in there and stuff, but I suppose it all takes time, and... Yeah, well, it's a start, put it that way.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, where I would like to see it go, it's kind of similar in direction to the way Giant Bomb's done it, giantbomb.com. Really awesome game site done by the guys who, like, left GameSpot. I mean, it's a... this is for the best part of GameSpot, I actually went over and formed Giant Bomb. But anyway, theirs is a game review site that has a lot of wiki stuff built into it, and it's really tight. Like, it's not just a wiki... Like, it's just amazing what they've actually done with stuff there. It's really easy to jump in and sort of start really easily sort of contributing to the content without getting bogged down in wiki syntax. That they've done a great job of that. So that's where I'm kind of hoping it kind of ends up going, is kind of a more cleaner kind of wiki look. But you know, we'll see where it goes.
Right, I'm thoroughly sick of the word wiki now. So let's get
on... Wiki. There's a little guitar noise? Come on, man, you can do it.
I quit. No, let's do in-game news instead, shall we?
Wiki.
I hate you.
Wiki.
Okay, well, first up, we mentioned it before, the Tech2 component scam, the rumbles on, and basically an entire alliance pretty much got banned for this. We're talking about Evoke.
Really?
Yeah.
It's... There was a lot of people that got touched by that whole exploit. It's kind of a bizarre one.
Well, you can't blame them for being bad, but now that they're gone, that little bit of the north is it's kind of a bit of Ka space, Tau Ceti space. The initiative? Who?
I don't know.
And the United Freemen Alliance. Presumably Gordon is their leader.
Such a good game.
Can I just say one of the things which gives me, in my own mind anyway, maybe not anywhere else, a lot of geek cred, was my chemistry teacher was called Dr. Freeman at school.
Chemistry? Wouldn't you have had to been like physics in order to really sort of give you that nod to geek cred?
Did you have any teachers at all called Dr. Freeman? I think not.
No.
Yep. And the other thing was he was Jeff Freeman instead of Gordon Freeman. He was slightly podgy, and I never saw him wield a crowbar. But all said and done, they're still pretty good geek cred, I would think.
We'll let the listeners decide on that one, I think.
Why bother? Why bother?
This is where we do the Price is Right lose sound. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Well, I still think that's anyway geek cred.
But who are these guys, the Initiative and the United Freeman Alliance? I have not myself been digging in too much around this. So.
You think I have?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. No, the only thing I know about United Freeman Alliance is it's led by Gordon, and their ultimate weapon is a crowbar.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, nobody does in-depth reporting quite like we do.
Indeed. How long do you think they're actually going to survive in that area?
Depends who friends they are.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, I mean, you know, if they're nice to Morris Meehy, maybe they won't get spanked.
Yeah, indeed.
But anyway, so Evoke, goodbye. Not an alliance I had especially much to do with, but I think we can all agree that getting rid of cheaters is a good thing.
Well, it's two sides to every story on this whole thing, right? I mean, if this exploit was indeed actually, you know, something that they've notified CCP about at, you know, a decent amount of time ago, and they haven't done anything about it, I mean, that's a pretty big exploit. You would figure they would have jumped on it.
Meh, I don't know.
I think it's stupid that someone would report it and then go, well, I'll just keep exploiting it because nothing's happened. But still, I mean, it could have been something, a glitch that somebody wasn't intentionally doing. I'm not going to play devil's advocate on that, but I'm just saying.
Again, not being an expert on the production side of things, I think it's, even I thought, ooh, you got to realize that's a bit dodge there. Oh, look, it's the bunkers are suddenly filled up despite not doing anything. Is that how it's meant to work? Yeah, must be. We're making material out of thin, not even thin air, thin vacuum. How does that work?
And then I think the exploit specifics, I guess, did lend themselves to it being not necessarily accidental.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the first time, but if you find a whole alliance full of people is doing it, that maybe, just maybe, word's getting around, I guess, maybe, right? But, still, crappy deal, and, yeah, just a little bit of repercussions in the tech market. Prices went, like, a little bit crazy on, well, when I say a little bit crazy on stuff like Ferrogel, I mean really crazy.
Oh, God, yeah. But you'd kind of expect that. They're settling down now, again, as you'd expect, as, you know, people are taking up the slack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, of course, out in the expansion, there was some changes to Tech 2 stuff in terms of getting it. In stuff you got to mine to actually make it, the reactions. Again, I'm
But the funniest bit, though, of that whole... Sorry to interrupt, but the funniest bit about the whole thing was the fact that they turned around and say, oh, but if you think that this is a really crummy way of doing things, you could just use alchemy and do it. Like, anyone who's even looked at that realizes how ridiculously wasteful alchemy actually is, so why would you even suggest that? Like, it was such a goofy way for CCP to kind of, like, nudge people in the direction of their newly added feature. I don't know, it just seemed funny to me.
What I quite liked is having Dysprosy Moons is no longer having a I win button for the game.
Yes.
Still nice, but it's not like the be-all and end-all.
No, but it still is a humongous advantage over somebody doing so-called alchemy.
Oh, absolutely, but it's better than not having... What am I doing again? But it's not the I win button, as I said. I'd still like a half a dozen, if anyone's feeling generous.
I would say it still is, though, because it still is the I win button. If you have even one of those, you're completely outpacing any one person doing alchemy to achieve the same thing.
Well, they can still try and compete with you instead of being completely impossible for them to compete with you. Why are we arguing about this? This is like techie stuff. Let's talk about Pew Pew again.
Okay.
The Bob Max campaign is embarrassing them now.
They're a little busy in other areas, right?
They're giving up on the north, obviously, and the goons are having quite a lot of fun taking out their titans. I think they've got two quite recently, certainly a little bit around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah, that was sort of late year business that was happening. Yeah, yeah. I say late year, it's in that massive unreported area of Eve for us. So, yeah, a little bit old on that news.
So it's like everything since June, more or less.
I'm not quite that far back, but... But yeah, but I mean, seriously, I mean, yeah, they're obviously not really doing much in the north, and it's, I mean, if anything, I mean, they have nothing up there anymore, as far as I know. Like, yeah, looking at the map, gone. But I mean, yeah, they're, as far as I know, their efforts are focused down in the southern areas, V-goons.
And then I say that you couldn't expect the peace to last there very much. The goons have also got their own problems, which involves you and some Russian buddies, you being BDCI.
Yeah, we talked about this last time, where BDCI was one of many people who are down in that area, obviously, right now. Of course, Bob is down there as well. AAA is beating the heck out of goons. It's, yeah, I mean, again, for the last month or so, I've been really just sort of keeping an eye on things, but not really taking part in too much. But yeah, lots of fighting going on back and forth. Same thing, back and forth. Typical pause warfare stuff that's going on.
Well, some of it hasn't been entirely back and forth, has it? Due to somebody failing to use jump planner properly, and put up the sino, make the jump bridge. Oh wait, we're 5 light years too far away.
Which was this?
This is a story I heard about, which is AAA called in some help from BDCI and getting a fleet together and stuff to do something. And, yeah, tried to set up the Bronk Bridge and I think confused like P9 with PB, these crazy Russians with their Cyrillic writing. And you guess what happened?
You're going to get death threats for that one, dude.
what's new? Anyway, they're from the Cyrillic. It's not like I can read it.
When did this happen? Sorry to play stupid, but I really actually haven't been...
This happened around the week after Christmas.
No, okay, that explains it.
I've heard it from a few people, so it seems quite amusing.
Yeah, week after Christmas I was sick, so right smack dab, you know, over New Year's. That's just awesome.
So anyway, www.jumpplanner.com.
Thanks for the sympathy, by the way. Dick.
Yeah. I'm your nemesis. I support the virus over you.
Yay.
Looking back into the sort of northwest, you remember we had Legion of XX Death XX? We now also.
You just call them Legion of Death.
Yes, but we now Shadow also. Of Shadow of XX Death XX.
Just call them Shadow of Death.
Solar Fleet, Solar Wing, Red Alliance, Red Overlord. Soviet mercenary.
God.
Just stick to Red Alliance, please. Because they're all, you know, connected. They're all spin-offs.
I gotta ask the question then. What's the difference between them all?
Not much.
Just friends?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're successor alliances from the original Red Alliance. But why would you set up 9 alliances when you could have a massive block of red there?
Because there's probably all sorts of reasons why that you would do that.
Politics,
just different mechanics of gameplay. People sometimes who maybe favor a specific type of gameplay might break off so they can focus on that. All sorts of reasons. But interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, they now own pretty much the entire northeast of the map. I mean, all the way down... down the way down from Insmother, Cash, all the way, the spine, all the way up. And you're going, wow, that's a lot of space you guys own. If you just make it dread, everyone would be going, woo, instead of being all confused.
Well, then there's really not much confusing about it then if they're all the same people, right?
I'm easily confused, you may have noticed.
I know.
Your mates KIA are doing quite nicely up in Germinate, actually.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Bit of Tau Ceti there as well, and then Dr. Freeman's Alliance.
United Freeman's Alliance.
Mm.
UFA.
UFA?
Yes, UFA.
Oh, yeah.
Also stands for Europe. But anyway.
I so like working with you, Blinky, do you know that?
I know. Wasn't Kia? Yeah. Let's just call them Kia, like the cars. Weren't they doing something here, like, a couple weeks back? They came down, they were beating on somebody's towers?
Where do you say here? Do you mean Curse?
Somewhere south-ish.
Well, quite possible, they're still mercs.
Yeah, I was reading something about that. I don't know. Anyway.
Do we have any KIA friends on at the minute? No, I don't. So let's just say they probably got hired by somebody to shoot somebody else.
Probably.
Because you don't normally hire mercs to shoot yourself.
That would be amusing.
Not even CFS did that.
We need training. Let's hire a merc corp to kill us.
Yes. Actually, that's probably not that bad an idea, except that you could
probably
just do
isn't.
It, except you could do it on Sizzy for free, or 100 isk a pop, for no matter what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, maybe we should do that. The Blinkian Urban Training Agency.
We're not that good.
We don't have to be. All we got to do is pretend we're that good.
That's true.
We're just like, you know, say, are you using fail mails like this and show some of the ones? And we've got a couple of doozies this week, and...
Oh, God. But yeah, what else is happening?
What's happening in Eve Lands? You remember Triumvirate deformed? Is that the right word? Deformed, disappeared for a bit, fell apart, then reformed?
Yes.
Fallen apart again.
Try
and try as it may. What's the deal behind this now?
Politics again. Politics.
Well, yeah, I know, but what kind of politics?
Everyone called each other assholes for a bit, and that was it.
Sometimes that's all it takes, yeah. Eve. You're a dick. Let's crush the lions. I don't want to be in this one anymore. Yeah.
That's pretty much it, actually.
That's too bad.
I'm just looking at the map. Oh, alliance name. Wildly inappropriate alliance.
What? Where the hell are they?
Between Morris Meehy and Tau Ceti.
Oh, boy.
Actually, Morris Meehy are doing very well, actually. They're, you know, taking a load of pure space, and as we discussed, pure were out of their last podcast. A lot of people predicted the death of Morris Meehy based on the scandal over the Tech 2 components, but I've got...
Yeah, there's a few pilots in there, I guess there were.
Well, and maybe they were, we don't know either way. Don't sue us, please, if you want.
Rumors circulated.
The rumors circulated, but you know, it really doesn't seem to have affected them too badly at all. They're still holding on to Tribute, Veil of the Science, apart from the Magistia Empire, who presumably are sort of, well, maybe not pets, but at least friendly.
I would hope they're friendly.
How do they get in there otherwise, though?
they're like the yolk in Morris Meehy's egg.
It's a very small joke, that.
I know. It gets bigger.
Ooh.
But...
Ooh, another alliance name I like. Circle of Two. Presumably like Gang of Five. Which is not an alliance. It is a Gang of Four, wasn't it, in the Chinese Revolution?
What?
Smile or nod.
So, Circle of Two.
How
does one do that?
Well, you reach out your hands, right? You got two people, and you reach out your hands facing each other.
You're not thinking in the gutter enough for this one. But anyway, move on.
I can never get myself down to your gutter level, boy.
Urban.
Yeah, Cloud Ring, etc. Pure Blind is mad as usual. No question.
Yeah, that's typical.
Yeah. Oh. Penumbra Alliance, never heard of them. Mostly Harmless, have heard of them. Well, they've set up shop there. Arn. You notice Arn, they seem to be like nomads. They get a bit of space for a bit and they move on. I mean, they're an ancient alliance. They've been going for donkey's years. I wonder, can somebody make a map of just showing how they've gone during their time, where they've moved to, where they've owned systems?
Maybe they think, like, the 00 regions are like a buffet, and they're like kind of trying out every little thing first before deciding where they want to settle.
Yeah, but 5 years at a buffet, pretty bad there. I mean, it would have gone off all the food by now.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, do period basis. We have.
Period basis. A fun little place. I still got gear there. A lot of it.
Maybe if you ask them all really, really nicely, he'll let you go there and take it back.
Well, I doubt it. Like, nothing serious. Like, I got, let's actually look.
I have probably got some crap stuck down there in sort of Quirius region, back from when I was in CFS, because we had to clear out of there in a hurry at the time. So that's, 5 years ago, getting on for? Probably a bit than that. 5.5 years, blimey.
I have a Velator and 2 station warehouse containers, both empty.
Wow.
I know.
Sir Mole, please, I desperately need those. Can I have them back?
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, I can't get in-game to find out exactly what I've got still in queries. But it'll be something along that sort of lines, you know. Maybe an Ibis or two and some civilian Gatling railguns.
Just rolling in it. Have you noticed, by the way, that TCF is, like, in four different areas?
Yes.
Are they, like, setting up franchises or something these days? Like...
Tal Ceti Federation, the Franchise Alliance.
Maybe they figure something out here, you know? It's like it's going to be like Starbucks. Every second region is going to be like a TCF region.
Yeah, to be fair though, they're not the only ones doing it. I mean, look at United Legion down in sort of the southeast. They've got three big old bits of space there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Russians, Legion of XX Death Ethics, they've got four regions. Wow, there must be like a record. How many like separated systems can an alliance have?
Probably quite a few if you really worked at it. I don't know.
Why would you though? But
I haven't the slightest idea. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I assume there's some kind of tactical importance to doing this.
I assume what it was is they saw the advantage, presumably after Bob went home after Max, yeah? And they thought, oh, we'll swipe a few systems, and then, you know...
Yeah, well, I'm not so much thinking of, like, the northern areas. I'm thinking more of the south. Well, I mean, they're sitting in Omist, which historically has been kind of Goonie-ish.
Yeah, true. That blimey, that's five regions. No, it's not.
Learn to count.
I'm counting United Legion, so I should really learn to read instead. Because they've got this little bit of Omist as well. And learn to recognize colors.
Yeah.
One. They've got a little bit of Astoria as well. Okay, hold on. Dumbest named alliance, Systematic Chaos from Astoria.
Systematic Chaos.
That doesn't work.
Indeed.
You can't have a systematic chaos. You have one or the other. Now make your minds up.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's ever been the oxymoron alliance.
More than likely.
It used to be so easy in the old days when you didn't have to be, you know, imaginative about names. You'd just, like, be easy, like, ooh, let's call ourselves the Stain Alliance because we live kind of around there, or the Curse Alliance. And now you've got to be clever and add X's to their names and stuff.
Well, it's all well and good until somebody uproots you from your region. Then what? Do you have the Curse Alliance in Quarius? That doesn't make much sense.
Well, it's happened plenty.
Yes, but you don't see many of them around anymore. At a certain point, I think it's part of the identity. It's like, well, we're not in Curse anymore, so what's the point?
Hey, Blinky, you've read Snow Crash. There's going to be, like, Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong all around the world. That's how it is.
That was good. I like that. That's an awesome book.
It really is. I think we did this as homework assignment a while back, didn't we?
One of us did, yeah.
I think it was you, and I read it, and like, oh, blimey, that's good. So anyway, Snow Crash Alliance.
You're onto something there.
Yeah.
So anyway, anything else going on?
It's just the usual madness, to be perfectly honest. As we discussed, IAC are now finished and done for. AAA are now own all their space. So anyway, basically it's been the usual madness. We if you want a really good in-depth one, go over to Eve Tribune, because somebody does a really good article on a weekly basis. I don't know how he does it.
Keeps observing things. Admittedly, it's hard to do it unless you do it on a week-by-week basis. So until we get back in that group, it's going to be like that, dude.
Yeah, it was. It's always going to be like that, because we are epic fail. You may have
noticed. It's just in terms of, like, you really do need to have sort of the week-to-week progression of changes and that until we get back in that groove, which we will.
Honest. No, the other thing you can do is listen to the Fly Reckless podcast with Silicon Buddha, who just does a wonderful show, and he's got all the stuff. I mean, it takes from Eve Tribune, but he will read it out to you. So when you're at work, you can find out what's going on, which I like a lot. And his voice is like just poor treacle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Good podcast, that one.
Very good. That's the Fly Reckless podcast. Links in the show notes, of course. So anyway, now it's time for...
Low mail.
The part of the show formerly known as Fail Mail.
Oh, yes. So, what you got this week?
No, it's your turn to go first.
Okay, so this comes from one Pharrell Brightman, who sent me this. This is going back a ways, because I was catching up on all my old emails, which tends to happen, because I end up, like, kind of not looking at them for a while, and then I come back and there's hundreds. So I'm still kind of playing catch-up, but this actually comes back from a kill back in, like, frickin' September, August, around there. So, but it is the victim, the mop of Steel Soldiers Corp. Note the interesting usage of the apostrophe S. And I'm sending you this right now.
Yeah, I can't really note anything right at the minute. So anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about this while this loads up for me?
Well, it is a Scorpion, and so it's a battleship, Calderay battleship. Normally used for, you know, ECM.
Yeah.
A lot of UW, a lot of, like, you know...
Holy hell!
Hold on, you want to mess with somebody bad in terms of, like, their ability to even target or lock or anything, like... Scorpion, right? It's a pretty nasty EW ship.
Yeah, it is.
It's usually, like, target number one when you spot one, because, like, they go down fast, and this way you can actually lock a fleet. So, this gentleman has decided to use this in a rather novel way. So, in his high slots, what do we got? There are six of them. He's got drone link augmenters.
Drones.
In his mids, he's got three sentry booster twos. For, you know, obviously, so he can lock like a mofo. And then, for the rest of his mids, keep in mind, Caldari ship, keep in mind also, electronic warfare oriented, right?
Yep.
He's drone gation computers. Okay, drone mods, basically, is what he's going for here.
Yeah, I see what is going on with this.
In his lows, he's got four signal amp twos, obviously, for, you know, lock range, all that business.
Yep.
Because,
of course, we all know that drones work so well at long range.
Well, yeah. So, but hold on, it gets... and then, of course, he's got a rigget, right, with three drone control range augmenter ones. So he's going for the range, he's going for the fast lock, you know. Yeah. And, of course, in his drone bays, this is what actually was on the kill mail. He's got four Warrior 2s and five Vespa 2s. That's it.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. It's got a pretty pathetic drone bay. I mean, I'm actually just looking at the numbers here. Well, it's only got 75% drone bandwidth. Hold on, I'm looking at the wrong bloody thing here. Hold on. Yeah, forget that. Drone capacity is 75 cubic meters. Just bugger all.
Yeah. So, why would you do this with a battleship? I'll never understand, because it's probably frigates that have better drone capacity than this. Anyway, probably cheaper when you lose them. Especially to, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thoraxes?
Yeah.
And a rupture for fun. So, yeah. Not entirely sure what he was actually trying to do with this.
I am. It involves drones.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it involved drone, but I'm just like, do people not... Obviously, he didn't maybe read what he was supposed to do for the Scorpion, but I'm curious now. Hold up. I'm going to load this puppy into EFT and see what I can see about this.
Its basic targeting range is 90K, which is... way more than you would even consider using a drone. So why has he got these signal amplifiers?
Well, with a signal... I know. Signal amp obviously boosts his targeting range, and I can boost, I think, scan res. Okay, well, in EFT, he gets a targeting range of 244 kilometers. He's like a drone sniper.
Yes!
in an EW battleship. And it's a Caldari one with absolutely no shield stuff to even... Anyway.
He obviously hasn't heard of the concept of stacking penalties.
Exactly. So let's just see what happens if we toggle on all the drones. So with, if for instance he was to, like, I don't know, toss out all of his Warrior 2s, he'd get a mind-blowing 64 DPS out of that.
Wow.
And if God forbid, all those Vespa 2s were launched, full set of 5, staggering 144 damage per second.
Wow, that will melt an Ibis eventually.
He's cap stable at 96%, dude, with everything on. All 3 sensor boosters active. That's what he's gonna get.
Wow. That's a good one, sir. My turn?
It's go ahead.
Sometimes, right, you get sent something. This was sent to me by Tim Gascoigne, which is just stunning. This has got to be the worst ship fitting in the history of the game.
This is a bold statement.
You will see this one and you will fall off your chair. Winterblink, give you the light autocannon shield tanked dummy with no drones.
God, what is happening? Okay.
Let's start at the beginning here. This is Shigzy from Heretic Militia, from Heretic Nation Alliance, or at least, well, we'll get back to that in a bit, right? High slots, Salvager 1, 150mm light autocannon 2, 3 of those. Bing, bing, bing. 2 small tractor beams. Oh, and they were loaded with barrage S as well.
Why not? Yeah. Really?
Mid slots, he's got basically a shield tank. He's got a large something warp stability thing. Basically, it gives him more shield hit points. Then we've got a warp scrambler 1. A 10 nanometer afterburner 1. That's right, a cruiser-sized afterburner. God, I'm going to give you like 2 meters per second speed boost, I guess. And a small converse deflection catalyzer 2. Oh, and a multi-spec shield matrix. That's not bad, actually. But if you want a shield tank, which you don't in a dummy ever. Low slots. Warp core stabilizer 1. But this is the best one. Right, Dommy, no launcher points, ballistic control system 1s, 2 of them.
2 of them?
2 of them. That's going to go well. Gravimetric backup array 1. Galente don't use gravimetric sensors, do they?
No.
No, I...
Magnetometric.
Magneto, that's right, yeah. I think gravimetric's armor off the top of my head, but I may be wrong there. In fact, I probably am.
I think you're right.
Overdrive injector 2. Type B altered SS expanded cargo. What? And a power diagnostics, because clearly this thing doesn't have enough. Right, okay. Now, there's the best thing. No rigs, no drones, but in the cargo hold, he's got Thunderbolt heavy missiles and over 3,000 of them, and some Gremlin rockets. So presumably,
35.
Yeah, but presumably he thought, hey, if I put missiles in my cargo hold and, you know, just drop them out into space, they're going to launch, and my ballistic control system will make me Uber with them.
Wow. I mean, okay, the ballistic control system, they look like they're missile racks, but they're not.
They're not.
They're not missile racks. You know what? The only thing I can think of is maybe, somehow, and I don't think so, given what it seems to show in the cargo bay, but maybe he had a full cargo bay, which is, like, impossible, and maybe he was trying to just transport a whole bunch of modules at random, and he just threw them on his ship.
No.
Okay. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, and that doesn't work. How did these guys actually... kill this guy and look at that mail and not have their heads explode.
I don't know, like, really. Maybe that was the plan, actually. I will kill my enemies in real life by doing it this bad. I mean, they brought quite a lot here. And that's a win. Makes a shift, actually, their enemies.
You don't need a lot.
Yeah, no, you don't. But, you know, a couple of...
What's he going to do to you? He's...
Hey, hey, don't knock the light autocannon 2s on a dummy.
He can scramble you so you can't get away, but then he can't get away because he's got a cruiser-based afterburner. Okay. I guess he could out-shield tank you, but...
Yeah. Now, the actual pilot here is Shigzy, as I said, who's actually a veteran player. I mean, I don't know him, but...
This has to be a comedy film.
Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because what's happened, and based on the comments, some of the comments on the kill board here, it's somebody's actually, you know, bought it off eBay or something, because, you know, Shigzy, I mean, he was in Doom, he's been in Four Horsemen, and, okay, neither of those guys are as good as they thought they were, neither of those corpses as good as they thought, but no way would they ever, ever do this. You know, so...
The basics, they would
not,
know.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. This is obviously not the real Shigzy. I mean, it's possible his little sister got on the computer or something. He thought, ew, that looks pretty. I'll put that on my ship.
Oh, dear God.
I did say it's a good one. It's an absolute doozy. So thank you very much to Tim Gascoigne for sending me that. I'm as a dummy pilot... Yeah, you know, I take the piss out of it a lot, but that's just abuse.
Yeah.
Fitting like that.
It's creative. I'll give it that. It's like a whole lot of modules are represented here on the one ship. It's like a gallery.
It is.
Of module types.
Yeah.
Just all the wrong ones for this particular ship. That's kind of the funny bit.
Does he have one... A module which would be sensible to fit on a Galente ship. Overdrive injector 2, possibly.
Depending on what you're doing, the warp scrambler.
It's not your job in the dummy to scramble people, though.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you were, say, for whatever reason, deciding to be anti-support dummy, and something got close to you, like, with a micro-warp drive, you could nuke his micro-warp drive with a scrambler. And then, but of course you don't have web, so, but then ideally, you know, you got your drones going out, which he doesn't have any drones, of course.
Straws and clutching here.
This may actually be very effective versus frigate rats in like a 0.7 system.
Well, he's actually the 0.3 with this. So.
I know, that's where I'm going with that, is that he is in a 0.3. Not the best fitting for LOSAC.
Shall we have a look at this on e-fitting tools?
I have been doing that.
Oh, give me the numbers.
It's pretty sad. You know, actually, volley damage, he's going to get 155 out of this. 64 DPS with the guns. He's cap stable at 45 with every module activated.
When you put cruiser modules on a battleship, what do you expect?
Well, you know, actually, I'm curious what actually that does for his speed. He goes from 121 meters a second... to a blazing 146 meters a second.
Wow, so that extra 25 there.
He's peeling the paint off of all the other ships. This is exactly, people, why you don't fit smaller class stuff on your larger ships. It's just not good.
I did say this is the best one. This beats even the Rocket Drake. This is the best one I've ever received. And as such... Tim Gascoigne, you get a bonus. Because not only will I pay you twice the cost of the cheapest module here, rather than just once.
Shipping knows, by the way, also that the... Sorry to interrupt, but the shield booster is a small.
Yes, I did see that.
So, he goes from 26 DPS, natural DPSness on shields, up to 48. Which is, yeah. I've got ships that have that as a natural, and I'm giving this person the benefit of all level 5 skills through EFTs. So
oh, marvelous! So, anyway, so Tim Gascoigne, you are going to earn a massive, a whopping 36.10 ISK. Oh, well, K ISK actually, 36.10 K ISK for the Warp Core Stabilizer 1, and that price is doubled, because this is such a doozy.
What will he do with that? I don't know. But I'll definitely have to concede this one, you man. That's a find and a half. Sad state of affairs for Glente ships, really, when someone's able to do this on it. Really, at this point, the EVE client should be kicking in and saying, whoa, what are you doing? like, dude, yo, I'm not letting you undock with that.
The server just goes, no, this is so wrong.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm giving you an extra 60 seconds to change the fitting on that ship.
Maybe you should just lose his account for reasons of heresy.
Yeah. It's just biomass is your guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is kind of amusing.
Anyway, who was your one from, and how much money does he win?
This was from Pharrell Brightman. And let's see how much this should be given. I think there's a 24K ISK scan resolution script, but we'll go with a module on this one, I think. And let's see. Yeah, actually, this might be the highest payout of our history.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of scary. But I'm thinking I'm going to have to give him a half million ISK for this on the Droid Link Augmenter.
Wow.
Oh, my.
So to win massive cash prizes like that, why don't you send your lol mails to either me, Urban Mongrel, or to my colleague Winterblink, and you'll have to go some to beat these two this week, but you know, I'm sure there are plenty of really terrible fits out there which we have never seen before. Discussion point, and it's traditional at this time of year for, you know, podcasts and shows like ours to start to do things like, you know, what do we expect to see in 2009? But frankly, the world's gone completely, completely mad, and you can't make any kind of prediction, because you're going to be, either you're going to, like, just have to predict something completely obvious, like there will still be trousers in 2009, or you're going to make something even slightly prediction, and it's going to be completely wrong. So, why bother?
What's the problem with predictions, honestly?
Because we'll be wrong. And
not necessarily.
I know that is hardly news to anybody who has listened to even a minute of any of the preceding podcasts, but
who do you think's going to come out on top? Bob or Goons?
I think it's going to carry on much as before, and they're still going to be fighting in 2010, 2011, 2012, and in fact, until the day the universe just ceases to be.
Interesting.
And that's the actual universe. It's, you know, even when EVE servers are shut down or something in the distant future, they've still been going around each other's houses and throwing ping pong balls at each other and stuff.
They're like 90 years old in some home somewhere. They'll be pulling the IVs out of each other's arms.
Take that, Sabol. That's for my scorpion.
I'm sapping your cap. Nah, I don't know.
Quick, give him a cat boost. They give him, like, the electric shocks.
Exactly. Some more meds. But yeah, I don't know. Tough to say. I think it will probably still be a pretty good fight happening down in the south. Yeah, I probably would have to say middle of the road as well. I think both sides are going to bring in friends to come in and help each other's efforts, and I think it's going to be a nice, big, ugly stalemate for quite a while.
So there we go. Completely boring, uninteresting prediction. As I said, this is rather like saying that trousers will still exist in 2009.
Maybe. I don't know. What about EVE itself? Anything you can see them doing interesting, other than the stuff we know about, like said March expansion that's coming out, which we...
Ah, yes, the Apocryptia. How do you pronounce this?
Apocrypha.
Why do they do, like, difficult names?
Just to piss you off.
Yeah, it must be. Why do they do these bloody expansions which are so hard to say? Look, I'm going to just go and give it a new name. And my method for doing this is to go to Wikipedia and go and hit the random page button and see what we get. And this is going to now be called the Collectibles of Ashinanti.
Okay.
which is a compilation album by American R&B pop singer Ashanti in 2005. You ever heard of it? Looks like a her from the cover.
Moving along. Apocrypha.
No, Ashanti.
No, no. So, for those who may have been, you know, not keeping an eye on things, CCB has done a press release this week.
Well, to be honest, they haven't been giving it to everybody. They only gave it to, like, sad people like us who get... You know, we don't, we're not the press, but we still get them.
Press releases are public, dude. And you can see them on the website. Anyway, and they did a dev blog on it, which really doesn't tell you a whole lot. Yeah, this is kind of coinciding with the whole retail release, you know, for the boxed version that they're doing in collaboration with Atari, or Atari being a publisher for this, which would be cool to get Eve once again in cartridge form. So they're doing some interesting things with this.
Sorry, just laughing at the cartridge form.
Okay, it's cool.
That brought back so many memories. And just imagine, like, Eve on one of those little early 80s consoles.
One button on the joystick, 8-way directions. Yeah, it could work.
Happy day.
Finally, we get the Flyer Fighters, you know, with the joystick. But they're bringing in a bunch of stuff, which they're kind of not really saying too much on at this point, especially in the press release. But something about wormholes, exploration content. I think they talked about it at FanFest, that this is going to be a lot of exploration-based stuff.
Previously unexplored regions of the universe. Why can I not talk today? I haven't even been drinking.
I don't know. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're a functional alcoholic. You should start drinking.
Good idea.
But yeah, so presumably aspiration content. I don't know if it's like whole new regions.
Hold on, you just said like aspiration content. You're catching.
I kind of slurred the whole thing together. My Red Bull must be wearing off. But yeah, so a lot of these cosmic anomalies, they call them. We'll have to see where this sort of goes.
Presumably, it's a ton of dead space by the sound of it.
I think it might be more than that. Because they're starting to do this whole epic mission arc thing, which we just talked about.
Worlds Collide.
At FanFest. What?
Worlds Collide's pretty epic.
I guess, but no, this is like. Did you see the one image that I think Crazy Canucks snapped of when they were doing that keynote presentation on this business, where they actually showed almost like a flowchart of how an epic mission arc would actually occur? And it's like they're really big, like massive amounts of ways to sort of traverse the mission parts, if you will, and the zones where missions take place in there. Yeah, it's not just like one of five parts. It's like branching structures and stuff like that. So this could get actually quite interesting. And they make this thing where they say, like, oh, more intelligent and deadly adversaries. What's that about?
Well, given that most of your NPCs aren't especially deadly, you know, they're about deadly as a wet flannel.
Flannel. But just... What? So who knows what they mean? It's tasty flannel. But who knows what they mean by this? So, but it will be interesting, I guess, adding in new stuff. New missions, basically, is what they're bringing in for this. So you'll be able to go and get epic missions from your mission-giving agent somehow. And probably the most important aspect of this is the introduction of Tech 3 stuff to Eve. Now, this is like the whole Lego ships thing, right? Presumably you've heard of this.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lego... I remember many, many happy days as a kid, treading on it as I was getting out of bed and stuff, because my room was always a mess, and hopping around the floor in pain. Happy days.
Yeah. So now you'll have this stuff laying all over your hangar, I guess, but...
Hurting my feet again.
Yeah, there was a thread that appeared on Scrap Heap about the Tech 3 ships, because somebody, I guess there was an article in the new Eon, and someone had mentioned, or someone had basically gone through and written out some of the major bullet points about the Tech 3 stuff. So, kind of interesting information, actually, that came out of this. They're only cruiser-sized.
Which is very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very neat.
Good. Good. That's good, because it doesn't make it an immediate I win button, say, having a Tech 3 battleship.
Right. It also probably keeps the price to a slightly more reasonable amount, but who knows.
Depends what you've got to do to build one, really.
Yes. But apparently across, like, I guess it's one hull per race, and apparently there's 5 different ship components to these things. Propulsion, there's like an offense, defense, power core area, and a sensor array, presumably kind of bridge type of thing, apparently, according to this thread. All this leads to, you know, according to the number of games someone's played, is about 12,500 ship configurations, which is a lot.
Just a bit.
Here's the funny bit, that the fellow who posted this mentions that apparently every section has separate skills. So, potentially. So, yeah, train, like, it would be apparently training our brains out for this stuff, so, you know, another time sink, I guess, Steve. Hopefully they make it reasonable, in terms of, like, prerequisites.
No, they've never done that before.
Well, yeah, but...
Well, it might be reasonable if you're, like, you know, Uber, and, you know...
This is different, though. Like, it's not like saying, I'm specializing in a particular kind of gun. Like, this is... You're making a specialized form of ship, so... Like, I don't see why they would make this really crazy. The sink in this case would probably be the cash, in my opinion. Was saying, if you want that super, uber specialized ship, like, yeah, your skills are going to play into it somewhat, but that should also be how much are you willing to spend on the really, really awesome components for that ship. Because that's where it makes more sense to put, I think, the... that's just me. But anyway.
No, I see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, so, because, I mean, you keep it low, then you get people actually using it. But I guess, you can assemble, disassemble these things, so you can, like, yank components off, put different ones on, so you can kind of, you know, it's truly like a Lego ship.
It's like rigs without losing the stuff when you rip it off.
Yeah, and according to this, actually, speaking of rigs, nice segue, apparently they're basically relying on, or having it only one rig in the ship, and there's still no word of whether or not it'll disappear if you start disassembling your vessel.
Based on the lore, which is, of course, the only thing we've got to go on now, I would suggest that you would lose it if you start disassembling it, because it's just jury-rigged in there. It's bodged in with gaffer tape and chewing gum. So,
maybe.
Based on the lore, if you start pulling bits off your ship as well, big bits of your ship, it's going to break it.
Or maybe it's just permanently a part of that, some sort of main component, right? Like your power core component or something, and that just follows around with that.
But if you got one per bit of a ship, that would be fair enough. But if you just got one per ship, how are you going to...
Well, you've got a main hull, right?
Yeah.
And it's the components that snap onto it. So I would say it would be kind of goofy to say, oh, we'll let you freely disassemble these things, but then we're going to blow your rigs to pieces every time you do it. Like, like, attach the rig. Like, okay, so what? You put something on, put a rig on that, like, does something for your droning ability or something, right? But then you want to switch off to be something else. Well, that's fine. Your rig's going to be useless to you then. Perfect. Like, where's the issue with... Like, why would you force destroy that when it's really... If you try and make the ship into something that you haven't rigged it for, it's just going to be a useless rig anyways. So if you want to change it, you got to yank it out and then it's destroyed then. I think I should leave it in. But anyway...
Could be.
All of this is supposition until we get some concrete info anyways.
Exactly. Given that we're discussing potential makeup of future spaceships in a universe who knows how far away from ours.
Well, we're not that far from this, right? This is due out in March. So at this point, they should be fairly locked down in terms of the general design of it.
No, but what I was saying is my argument was based entirely on the lore.
Ah.
If you see where I'm coming from now.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, we'll see where this goes. Sounds interesting, and apparently the acquisition of these components is potentially, from what I've been reading here and there, which may or may not be true, but is related to the exploration areas. So these may or may not be... Some of these components might not be things you're just going to necessarily find on the market easily. It might be something that you might have to go and look for in the new areas, or as part of the epic mission arcs. So,
Indeed. There's also this bit where if you start to disassemble your ship, you might lose something. Things like if you've got a really experienced crew is one of the ways it could possibly work. And Eve ships do actually have crews. It's just they play no actual part in the game. But the lore has always been these guys have got crews.
Yeah, the crew bit is apparently something that they're, according to the Eon article, something that they're pondering. Probably won't make it in, who knows, but it might be something that would be where you would, you know, lose something from actually doing a disassembly. So lose some crew experience, if you will.
It was something back in beta I mean, this goes back a long way. There used to be this, one of the ideas which was put around was actually having ships' crews, and you could, like, buy better crews, and that would give you little bonuses and stuff. And then the idea was maybe you could, like, get crews who are better things, so you get a crew who's really specialised at, shall we say, shield tanking, but because they're special in that, you lose something in another area. Which, you know, you kind of would be a good idea in terms of the lore, but not necessarily a good one in terms of the gameplay.
Yeah, and then, you know, would you be able to buy and sell said crew? You know, like, saying, hey, I've got this, like, got this really awesome, like, plus 20 engineer, you'll go, like, way faster. And then, but then, how do you get that? Do you just grind it by leaving your afterburner on and orbiting a station for, like, an hour or something? Like, it's just, you know? So, I don't know, there's probably balancing issues there, but one of the neat bits that was from this is that they say that you're not going to be able to tell what the ship is, like, in terms of what subsystems you have from scanner results. You'll just know that it's like, oh, it's one of these Lego ships, and you won't know exactly what components the guy has on until he actually starts shooting at you or doing whatever the heck he's going to do. So, interesting. So that was kind of one of the things I was always wondering is how does this work into the game? Like, when you go into a fleet full of people, you can see, oh, they're all this type of ship. You can generally guess what he's probably going to be doing to you, except in the case of our law males.
Yeah, Shigsy's dummy. You couldn't have guessed that was going to happen in a million years.
Yeah. So, anyway, this will be interesting to see how this happens. I guess the kill mail will be the thing that'll tell you. It's like, oh, no wonder he was easy to kill. Because these are going to be really specialized, I think, is that you're going to end up with a ship that's going to be awesome to do one thing and one thing only. It's like, that'll be the balance, really.
We've already got that kind of an Eve. It's just nobody be able to tell what that one thing that you're going to be awesome at until, you know, you show your hand, you start shooting, or, you know, start flying at 12 billion kilometers per second and stuff.
We have that, but, I mean...
Yeah, no, but, you know, if you, for example, that if you see a Vagabond, you know it's going to be going bloody fast. If you see a Dominic, you know there's probably going to be drones involved somewhere along the lines and a bit of Noz. You see where I'm coming from here? Yeah, Whereas with these ships, you won't be able to tell. It's bloody brilliant.
No, I think it's neat. And then people who want to specialize in a particular role can do so really, really well if you have the cash.
Well, it's fair to say, in the first few months of this is going to be simply the people with a lot of cash, which isn't us.
Indeed. I mean, chances are good that the cost on these things will drop. Like, I don't think they're making a really high barrier for entry on this stuff in terms of money. Well, not initially, at least, but I think in general the thought process is that this will be, you know, fairly easy to get into. But yeah, who knows? We'll see where this goes. But some good info, nonetheless.
Yeah, very interesting.
Should make for an interesting expansion. Let's just say that much.
One of the things we're hopefully going to do is we're going to get Kroven as soon as these things come out on Sissy. We're going to strap him into one of them and get him to test it, and then test some of the others, and we'll give you a nice report on that. Hopefully.
Yay! Everyone loves Kroven.
Eve TV's got Kroven. How awesome is that?
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be part of the tournament.
Yeah, Kroven and Varone and K-Eds. Like, that's just superstar tag team there.
Yeah, that's he's really good. He knows his stuff. So that should be it'll be a good service for the community who watches the tournaments. Kroven will basically tell you everything at great length of what's actually going on the screen. So, should be pretty good.
And we actually get to see what he looks like now.
I know what he looks like.
Well, only you then.
Well, he's in my corps.
Yes, but I don't know what many of my corps mates look like. The only ones like I've met. We don't swap photos and stuff online.
Well, it's not like we're swapping photos. Jesus, just saying.
Hey, hey, Blicky, I took this photo especially for you.
Check this out, man. Picture of my wang. One other thing that's coming out for this expansion is a full launch, like, final non-beta version of Evilopedia. Which, you know, as we've previously mentioned, is totally available right now for people to go in and play with right now in an open beta form. So, I don't know what making it official is going to do, other than just making it official and putting it on the website, but maybe they have some planned content that they haven't shown us yet on the on the beta test version of it. Who knows? But
presumably they do, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, because it's kind of sparse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what where it goes. So, wahoo. Hopefully the players will do what CCP has been completely unable to do properly, which is document the game. So, cool.
Better much, Blinky?
What am I just saying?
I am not the only person
who noticed this, okay?
compared to what there was in the early days, right?
At least in the early days, that was somewhat relevant. Like, you know, things... I mean, obviously you can't take the manual from the original game and use it now, but I'm just saying, like, it'll be nice to have something where players can go in and document, they can make guides and stuff like that, and it's all attached to their name, and it's all one big happy family of information. I think it'll be really good.
And people scrabbleage about why it's a problem.
You know as well as I do, man. Don't play like you don't. But I think it'll be kind of cool. So we'll see how this goes. Other than that, they haven't really released too much more information as to what they're going to be doing in this patch. Presumably there's going to be a whole lot of other little tiny tweaks and stuff here and there, so which is usually what CCP does. But we'll wait until they release the full patch notes, which won't be for a while, because again, this is in March. And no doubt we'll do a full report on those.
We'll try to.
Yes.
Being completely wrong about most things, as usual.
Nah. So yeah.
Good stuff. I've just read on BBC News, trousers have in fact ceased to exist.
Really?
Yeah. So wrong about that one. Just, what, 9 days in? 10 days in? What can we do? I tell you what we can do. Go on to the... What the hell is this section? Homework assignment. That's it.
Dear God in heaven.
And it's your turn.
Is it? What did you do last time?
I did the F1 Rejects podcast. Did you listen to it?
It was a podcast. It was a whole website, right?
The website and podcast, both of which are excellent. Did you?
I did get a chance to do the podcast, but I did get a chance to sort of peruse the website. It was pretty good.
Yep. Anyway, sir, your turn.
Books. I love books. I like to read them. So.
And if you run out of toilet paper. This is a discussion. This is a discussion which we were having beforehand on before we started the show about the joys of living in Canada when you get snowed into your house.
Yeah, and a person who's never lived in Canada thought that if you run out of toilet paper, you would use books. No.
So what do you use, like the shower curtain?
You know what? To be honest, to be 100% honest, I've never been in that position. I'm not kidding. I've never had that moment where I've been sitting there and I looked and I said, "Oh, there's no toilet paper left," or been in the situation where I've been like, "Damn, I'm gonna run out in a day or two." Like, you know what? You go out and you buy some more toilet paper. What the hell are we talking about this for anyway? Homework assignment. This is what happens when you work with a Brit. You get all the toilet humor, and it's just, oh my god, it's hard sometimes. It's hard. Send ISK. Donate. So anyway, gonna make me feel better. So I've been reading this book. I'm not done it yet. I'm almost done it, and it's a really good book. It's called World War Z.
Oh, zombie.
It's really good. So basically, the premise of this is that it's like, well, on the cover, it says the oral history of the zombie war. So, the way it's kind of written is, it's like as if a zombie war, a zombie apocalypse has happened, the world has sort of done its business to get through it, and this fellow is sort of going through as an interviewer, if you will, and interviewing people who have survived it in some manner, and sort of getting the stories of how people, you know, actually made it through the zombie apocalypse. So the interesting part about it is, like, this could get really campy fast, right? You sit there and you think, oh god, it's going to be like zombies, come on, give me a break. But it's done really well. It's extremely well written, surprisingly well written. I mean, you look at this and it's just like, it's stunning, but it's very timely. Like, it's like, oh, how would North Korea react to this, right? Like, what would they do? You know, how would China react? How would how would this affect stuff that goes on in the Middle East? You know, how does the United States react? How does, you know, so he kind of, he's interviewing these people from these different areas, if you will, and getting a feel for how this all plays out from beginning to end and afterwards. It's quite good. So he talks to guys who were like first encountering, you know, zombies and people not knowing what the heck is actually going on and coming to realization what's going on and then how do you survive it. Like, there's one section, one chapter that's like about, you know, your typical soccer mom in a gated community, right? Drives around in an SUV, doesn't actually work for a living, just kind of like, you know, does family stuff, cleans a house and stuff, you know, you're whatever, typical soccer mom. And then all of a sudden, one day, like, she totally doesn't pay attention to the news, kind of watches The View and stuff like this, and all of a sudden, one day, a zombie comes crashing in through her front window and attacks her family. And they go into, like, how does this family react to this? You know, it's really clever.
Presumably by dying and having their brains eaten.
Well, you would think. But it's funny. It's like, oh, there's actually a part in the book where it talks about people in the States thinking, wow, we should go north because the zombies will freeze. Because it's coming up on the winter time, right? Because, and, you know, they're thinking, you know, it's the winter time, so we'll go north, we'll pass, you know, whatever point where the temperatures drop below, you know, freezing, and, like, the zombies will freeze solid and we'll be safe. So everyone starts heading up to Canada, which is hilarious because they're all like, it actually goes into this, and you actually see this sometimes, people, you know, from the States who come up and they don't dress for the weather if they come up in the winter time. It's really funny. Well, kind of haha funny, but anyway. At this point, they're like going, yeah, you know what? These things that we wear for the cold weather here don't really work in minus 30 degrees Celsius temperature. And, like, all of a sudden, it's like, it's not just a long camping trip. You're going to be there for a year, maybe two. And it's like, you know, what do you pack to survive this? And how do you deal with finding new supplies on site? All this stuff. And it's very, very well written. It's from the perspective of the individuals being interviewed. It's an excellent, excellent book. Friend of mine recommended it to me, and I thought, what? You're kidding, right? Somebody wrote a book about the zombie apocalypse. And then he's like, swear to God, dude, he's like, 100% awesome book, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm like, okay. And sure enough, literally, not even past the first chapter, and I was hooked. It's really, really good. Got nothing but awesome things to say about it. Check it out. It's called World War Z. I'm just trying to find the author.
Max Brooks.
Thank you, Max Brooks. Who has also done some... another book, actually, on it. The Zombie Survival Guide, which is a little bit more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of humor, and basically of like, you know, it's like a handbook, a guide to surviving the zombie apocalypse. So he's kind of done this kind of thing before, but this is a much more kind of serious effort. So check it out; it's really, really good.
Yep, I will do. That's been one click ordered from Amazon. Good choice, sir, though, because I haven't read it, but I've heard about it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Just as an aside, same friend who recommended it to me also said if you can snag the audiobook, which isn't a bridge version, so it's not the full thing, but he likes it in addition to the book, because it's not just somebody reading it, it's like there's people that are reading it in the form of like the person being interviewed, right? So it's almost like a little radio play in a way, so they said it's extremely well done as well. So well worth it, I guess, to check out if you're interested in audiobooks as well. Might be a good snag for you.
Cool. Okay, what else have you been playing this week? Well, I've been playing, as Blinky found out earlier, over Christmas with my family, amongst other things, SingStar ABBA.
come on, you gotta sing it. You did it earlier and I didn't have a recording. Come on, you gotta do it.
One back! At Waterloo, Napoleon did surrender. Oh yeah! And I have met my... I've forgotten the words, but that was probably quite enough.
Yeah, I'm good. Dude, yeah. ABBA? Wow. Not my thing, but that's cool. I guess if you're suffering as a family, that's... There's worse things to do.
Is there?
I guess. But, I don't know, man. Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Well, you know how it is. Anyway, I hope you've been playing something marginally cooler.
with work being silly, it's kind of like, you know, the most time I've been able to put anything has been mostly console-based. Been playing the odd little bit of Left 4 Dead here and there, but not too much of it lately. I don't know why. Not that it's gotten boring, but it's just something I put down for a few. But been playing a lot of Resistance 2 on my PS3. That's a really fun game. I mean, campaign's awesome, but the multiplayer is just really, really, really good. Playing a little bit of Prince of Persia, the new one that they did. Another really good game. Pretty easy in terms of the platforming, but it looks amazing, and some of the combat can get pretty interesting, so very fun game to play as well.
You seem to like a lot of games. You'd be a lot meaner, like Yahtzee. Then we'd be popular, damn it. Not like now.
Yeah, I suppose, but good old Yahtzee. I gotta tune in and start checking out the backlog of stuff I haven't watched, but other than that, been playing some Little Big Planet with some friends. That's a ton of fun to play online. I don't know if you've messed with it at all or seen it, but
I'm in a real credit crunch mode when it comes to buying games, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. One thing we were laughing about is when you not the credit crunch, by the way, but Little Big Planet's fun.
Glad you clarified there.
In general, it's funny. If anyone doesn't know what Little Big Planet is, go Google it right now. It's hilarious because the characters are these little sack boys. And what's hilarious about it is that when you're playing multiplayer, you can screw with each other and just, you know, you can smack each other around and stuff, or, you know, work collaboratively to complete levels. And there's rewards for doing that. But it's a lot of fun because we found out when you have your headset on and you're chatting to each other through the game, your little sack boy's mouth approximates the sounds that you're making, and it is just freaking hilarious to actually watch it. We spent probably our butts off at this, how it works. It's hard to explain to you, see it in action, but it's really funny. So, yeah, basically been doing a lot of console stuff. Been doing a little bit of that, screwing around with PlayStation Home. I don't know if you've heard about that at all, but that's rather interesting. Sort of like Sony's answer to, well, not really an answer to, but they're making this whole community thing called PlayStation Home, where it's basically kind of like Second Life in a way, except, you know, well, I would say it's different, but there's still, you know, perverts and idiots on there. But you make your little 3D avatar, and you can walk around in this area, which is almost totally designed to market products to, obviously, right, because it's a part of a service. But some neat things. You go to the bowling alley and actually have these little mini-games. They'll have, like, arcade cabinets there. You can go and play some these retro-style games and stuff like that, and some newer ones and stuff. But it's free. You just run up and grab a machine and start playing. And then the bowling stuff is actually pretty good. There's a physics-based pool thing as well, which is really good as well. So
sounds like it will get old pretty quickly, actually.
You would think. And it does to a point, but it's nice if you have friends that are in other areas. Like, I got friends of mine who are like in different cities. My brother's not in this city as well. So we can actually jump in there and like just shoot the breeze with, you know, voice comms for free while we're playing pool, just messing around. Like, it's pretty good for time waster things, but it's nice also if you have friends in other areas just to be able to meet up and chat in real time while you're just playing around. So in that respect, it's good. It's not so great for just running in and playing with random people because there's a lot of morons in there. But the hilarious bit is, of course, when you go and you say, well, they could basically give you like 5 shirts and like 4 pairs of pants to sort of choose from for your virtual whoever. And so they have these stores in the mall area, of course. So you go in and you're like, okay, you're looking at the shirts and stuff like that. And they got like Diesel shirts, you know, Diesel the designer,
yeah,
for like $2 a pop. Two real bucks a pop.
What?
So I'm not kidding. And you think, like, that? Those are the Diesel ones. Normally, they're about 50 cents a piece. So you can go, and like, they have, like, shoes and pants and, like, sunglasses and all this business. So you think, what kind of an idiot would do this, right? Go in and pay real money for virtual crap, right? But you know as well as I that people do this, right? And especially in the MMO space. But in consoles, doubly so. Like, Xbox Live proved to everybody in the world that anybody is willing to spend money on, like, a little tiny 100 by 100 picture for their gamer pick on the Xbox Live gamer cards, right? So Sony's applying this. Well, yeah, I know, but people do it. People do it quite a lot. You know, they'll pay for a theme, which is basically just a series of screenshots that go behind your menus, right? But they'll pay for the themes for, like, $5 a pop, and you're like, thinking, are people crazy?
The one thing the internet has taught us is that there is no limit to the things which people will do, which is sick and wrong.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Yes, you're right. Like, for instance, if you sit down in a chair in PlayStation Home, someone comes up to you, and they have a ton of dance emotes, because, I mean, you can't do something like this without have a whole bunch of ways to dance. So someone will run up to you, face you, and do, like, that running man dance right in front of you. And, of course, they're doing it on the spot. So it looks like they're grabbing your head and, you know, force-feeding you, if you will. And it's just ridiculous. And, like, someone... And they'll tell you this while you're just sitting there, and they'll be like, hey, guess what I'm doing to you right now? It's like, oh, my God, what the hell? So you get this kind of ridiculous business happening, but...
So these are obviously exactly the same people who play like things like games like Battlefield just to kill people and then teabag them. That's their entire reason for living. That's their raison d'etre.
Well, this... Yeah, exactly. This, hilariously, is one of the things that people have been doing, is saying, like, they make the girl avatar, and then you walk around, and, of course, like, the second you walk into the public space, because you get your own little private home, which you can kind of organize and stuff like that, and you think, why would you do that? Well, you can actually bring friends in there, and it becomes a party chat, like, through the headsets. So it's like almost like a chat room.
But you can choose who goes in.
You can, yes.
So you can put a big no-ass hat sign on the door.
Pretty much. But you go outside to the public areas, and people, they cut out the voice chat because you had all these racist idiots running around and screaming crap. But you go to the public areas, anything happens. So as a female, guys will make a female character just to see what would happen. And literally, you can walk around and watch it. Some chick just standing there. And some dude will run up and be like, hey, where do you live? And it's like, you gotta be kidding me, right? I mean, you don't know that's a girl, for one. Two, like, what do you think the chances are this, that she's gonna fly to your location or something? I don't understand what people are doing, like, hey, can I get your phone number? Like, you'll see the chat happen live. It's just ridiculous, but... Anyway, Holmes kind of funny. But back to the issue with microtransactions, you think, how many people would actually do this? Well, Sony released a Santa Claus outfit that consisted of Santa Claus, you know, outfit, shirt, pants, shoes, gloves, and, like, a beard and a hat. So, like, what is that, like, 5-6 things?
No sack.
Santa pop... What? No sack. No, sorry. So 5 or 6 things, about 50 cents a pop. You wouldn't believe how many people I saw wearing the full outfits. And I'm sort of going, you gotta be kidding, right? Like, you're kidding. And then Sony came out and said, we made, like, $1 million in a month of Home being open. And this is just an open beta. But they basically said they made $1 million off of microtransactions to the game. So somebody's spending the money. It's ridiculous. Like, you could spend $1 or $2 or whatever on a chair for your virtual house if you want to as well, or spend $5 on a new house. I mean, it just boggles the mind that there is a whole ton of people out there who will drop that kind of cash on nothing. But it happens, and somehow me, you, and I got to figure out a way that we can get in on this action, because, you know, it's money from nothing, man. So, no end of entertainment on the PlayStation platform, let me tell you.
How can we add microtransactions to the podcast? I know. Basically, you've got to drop us $5 now. Actually, just drop me. Don't worry about Blinky, right? And I'll start revealing some deep, dark secrets about Blinky.
Well, you don't know any deep, dark secrets about me.
I know. I know about your secret vices, mate.
Okay.
We think you keep your vices in the workshop, but no, they're actually kept in a secret location.
Oh my God, no. Now you're going to extort from me money to keep you quiet? Is that how it's going to work?
No, because you don't have $1 million, but obviously, you know, with the lack of quality control on the internet, I can extort money out of all my listeners. All four of them.
We could charge people for submissions of fail mails.
Yeah, do some work for us, and then give us money, please.
Oh, man. No, seriously.
My boss doesn't listen to this podcast. I might give him ideas.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, other than all of that, yeah. You know what's weird? I haven't touched my Xbox in, like, forever. Like, I turned it on when they did that new Xbox Experience crap, and I was like, okay... Now what? Like, since Mass Effect, I haven't really touched my Xbox or anything. I haven't even gotten Gears of War 2, which is really weird. But I don't know. I've been into my PS3 these days.
You know...
It's worked out.
Yeah, well, I've only got the Xbox, so that's what I play Fallout 3 on. That's it.
It's pretty nice, actually, on the consoles. My buddy of mine has it on the PS3, and it works the same as the PC thing in terms of gameplay. Graphics are... a completely different story between consoles and PC. That game looks amazing on the PC.
Well, I basically need a bigger TV and a bigger screen. But, hey, credit crunch mode.
Yeah, and you know what? If anyone's interested in doing any kind of stuff with Resistance 2, it's, you know, let me know, drop me a line, because it's great. It's such a fun game. And I've been doing a lot of the ranked stuff these days, so yeah, wouldn't mind forming up a party sometime and jumping in.
Your Winter Blink on PS3 as well?
Shush. Cut that out.
Okay, you...
I'll wait till someone actually contacts me directly instead of getting a billion random ads.
Okay, well. So they'll contact you, what, in Eve, and then get it to you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, drop me a line or something, and then we'll figure out what we want to do. If anyone's interested in joining up on anything like that, it's a lot of fun. Maybe someone should make an Eve clan. You know, maybe someone did. Maybe I'll do a search for it. Who knows? We'll figure something out.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's enough of that, really. Time for community news. Community news.
Smooth, man.
I don't know. I'm really happy with how that is.
Community new news. Awesome.
I turned into a zombie there.
He's been drinking tonight, apparently. So, so yes, community news.
Do we have any?
I don't know. Do we?
Let's make some then, shall we?
Okay.
Competition time again.
Yay! Everyone loves a contest.
Well, one with really, really great swag.
Indeed, indeed. We are actually doing a competition.
Yeah.
Yay!
Big thank you to CCP and Mittenal for helping us get this all set up.
Yes, Minty.
Minty. Minty fresh.
Yes. So, but, yeah. So, what kind of competition are we doing?
Well, it kind of was meant to be the Christmas competition, but for various reasons, we couldn't get our hands on the swag until after Christmas.
Yeah, just like scheduling also reared its ugly head yet again, but here we are.
Bastards. Belated. Bastards who want electricity, I don't know.
Indeed. What hoops are we going to make people jump through for this stuff?
This is a pretty easy one, because it was a Christmas competition. We're going to stick with the festive theme here. We want your funniest Eve-related stories back from the festive season. You know, like that time when, you know, you're having that trifle at your grandma's place and she put a bit too much sherry in and you get home and you lose your avatar.
Well, that's, yeah, how much sherry is she putting in that? For those who don't know, trifle's like a dessert. Pretty kick-ass dessert, actually. My mother used to make that, actually. It was quite good. But it's like a multi-layer kind of... thing, usually some kind of fruit or something. It's usually, and my mother makes it with like a fruit and then like a custard layer and then like a whipping cream layer with some stuff on top of that as well. But it's, oh my god, is it good?
Very Atkins by the sound of it.
Well, yeah, but no, it's so yeah, basically any kind of festive kind of story, preferably Eve related. So, you know, not just sort of telling us what presents you got, but hopefully something kind of Eve related in there.
Yeah, I mean, funny ones as well. I mean, this is one... I mean, you can have funny presents, you know? Like, I know somebody, a girl who gave her corp boss her corpse for Christmas. I mean, isn't that sweet?
Sure. That's a bit unusual.
Well, they're a strange lot, the pirates, aren't they? But, you know, you can't do that now and I've read it out. That's quite a sweet
honestly,
story.
What is the real-life equivalent of that? Like, giving someone your toenail clippings? Merry Christmas.
Hi, dear. That's for you. I made them myself.
Exactly. Try not to eat them all in one sitting.
This is why we're both single. Do you know that?
But, I mean, honestly, that's interesting, though, the corpse for Christmas. I guess depending on what someone's collecting, you know, so some people have corpse collections in this. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
As we are apt to do. But what what are we going to give people for doing this, man? Because we need to give people some swag.
Well, basically, for whoever comes up with the funniest story, right, we'll get some pretty damn awesome swag. And I'm saying this because you've got the list in front of you and I haven't, which means you should read it out.
So why am I asking you?
I was wondering that. Get on with it. I should point out all the prizes will be going to the winner. We could have split them up. We didn't bother.
No, really? Prizes going to the winner? Yeah, what he means is, like, yeah, it's a single person wins, definitely not being distributed to multiple people. So, alright, so what we'll be giving you for giving us your Christmas Eve stories will be a 60-day game time card, a t-shirt of your choice, a poster of the winner's choice, as well as a keychain and a mouse mat. All this was from the Eve store. And there is a little bit of limitations on this, and that the, obviously, you know, the poster size is a specific poster size. I think it's like the smallest one on there. Because the big ones are really big and awesome too. But yeah, that's a pretty decent pile of swag.
Oh yeah, very much so. Worth $98.98 or something like that.
Indeed.
So, whatever money is worth these days, it's worth quite a lot of them.
Now, there is the caveat.
Is there?
Is there?
What does caveat mean? Is that like a caravan, a caveat? Is it like a caravan combined with a hat?
If you want to think it is, then okay, Urban.
Marlon, nod again. That's what you're telling me.
Right, exactly. But there is the issue with shipping. I don't know if you want to fill people in with this.
If you want to move stuff, you put in a ship. Unfortunately, moving stuff in a ship or on a plane sometimes costs money. And you'll be moving the stuff from, where, I think it's the Atlanta where the store is now, to wherever you are, which will cost something. And I'm afraid we're going to have to charge you. You're going to have to pay for it. It's not going to be too much, though, if you live somewhere sensible, like, you know, America or Europe or Canada. You know, it's not going to be too bad. Certainly a lot better than when stuff was in Iceland. Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, that was... it actually made it worthwhile to actually go to Iceland for a fan fest, just so you don't have to ship back anything that you get from CCP, but...
Do you remember that the bottles of Quaife, and they cost twice as much to ship to you than the actual bottle was cost?
And I don't think the taste was worth it, but anyway. But yeah, just so we're clear, we're not shipping it to you. This is CCP through the White Wolf store is going to be shipping these items to you. So we're not in the loop on that. But the idea is...
Do you think we'd give you that much stuff out of our own pockets, honestly?
No, sir. We don't get that kind of donations from people. So, or any kind of donations.
Any bloody donations.
That's okay, though.
Apart from CCP, and then we've got to give that all away anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So... those goofy buggers. So, but the idea here is that get us your stories, probably send them to me, to this Eve Mail Winterblink with your stories, so we don't both get them, and then I'll compile them all, Urban and I will go through them, and we'll pick the most entertaining one of the pile, and choose someone as a winner, and ideally we'll read it to everybody out on one of the podcasts. And at that point, once we figure out who's going to be the winner, we'll get in touch with you, get your particulars, and we can get that off to one named Minty, CCP Minty, who will then ship your items to you.
After you've given him some money.
Yeah.
So it seems pretty epic to me. I mean, it's an epic set of prizes, and everyone's done something dumb over Christmas in-game.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a whole lot of drinking going on over the holidays, so...
No.
Yeah, I'm sure it's... Yeah, well, yeah, you know. So I'm sure there's going to be some alcohol-related stuff. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be a flat-out story. I mean, you can try doing something interesting with it. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what people end up doing.
Yep. So hurry up and get your entries in. We'll give you till the end of January-ish. That seems about sensible to me.
Right.
The tourney teams will be out by the time you hear this. They were actually meant to be out this weekend, but they've been delayed till Monday. So... yeah, we can't actually tell you anything, except there's more teams, 64 teams kicking off this time for the Alliance Tourney, isn't there? Or maybe more?
So that's what they've been saying, up to 64 could enter, so hopefully they get a full roster. I imagine they would, because there's a lot of Alliances that'll want to get in on it.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, it's just, it's what all the cool kids do. If you're too cool for school, you're part of the tourney.
Well, I mean, it's kind of fun. I don't see why people wouldn't necessarily give it a go of it, so,
I love the tourney. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely.
The rules are out now. Won't go into these in any vast detail, but one of the funny things is Tier 1 battleships, Tier 2 battleships cross the same points as the Tech 2 battleships. So I guess we're going to be seeing a lot of Marauders, aren't we?
Will you? I mean...
Well, why wouldn't maybe. You? For the same amount of points, right? You know, you get one with essentially four extra high slots. You know, you get the double damage
and like
double
eight times the lock time. I mean, come on. Unless you're going to center boost the crap out of those ships. I don't know, man. Some of those things, all it's going to take is one electronics warfare frigate to mess up your Marauder's day.
Well, if you think about the whole sort of drone swarm tactics, right? So, having an extra high slot for a smart bomb seems like a good move to me.
Okay, I think you're going to see a lot of EW drones. I think you're going to see a lot of things like the Mollus coming around again to sensor dampen people who field Marauders. I think it'll be interesting. Don't get me wrong. It will be amusing to see that much money go poof in a tournament. But
it always is.
I think people are going to spend the money a little more wisely on Tech 2 fittings on a Tech 1 battleship. I think you're going to see a lot more of that than you will see Marauders. I think you will see Marauders, but not whole teams of Marauders. That would be just insane.
I don't think you'll see teams of Marauders, but I think a lot of teams will start off with Marauder on top to give you the big chunk of DPS with added stuff.
Right, but with the amount of support you're going to need to actually keep that thing alive, I don't know. Keep it alive and keep it viable. I mean, you're going to have to do, remote sensor boosting on that thing in order to keep its lock times reasonable. I know the damage and tank are awesome, but I don't know if that's going to be as viable a thing as you might imagine. Just like I said, in terms of you're requiring somebody to be at least one ship supporting yours, right, in order for it to be even viable. I just think that's points better spent on a ship that can kind of manage itself a little bit better. People bring Balgorns in as well, so I don't know. That's an awesome ship, don't get me wrong, but so sad to watch them blow up.
They're not awesome on their own, especially if they don't get in dead close straight away. But
and again, the same thing applies, I think, to Marauders, although monetarily it's a slightly different ballgame. We'll see.
I think
this interesting choice in points allotment, though. I think that is very interesting.
I think we will see a lot of Marauders simply because I can also see a lot of the sort of 10 Thorax style teams, lots of cheap frigates, just not frigates, they're cruisers. What am I talking about? You know what I mean? Lots of very cheap ships just bodged in there, which do really nice DPS.
Yep.
So I can see that one as well. But I think if you're going to go for a battleship, you want to be really thinking strongly about a Marauder. And let's also not forget it's got the double-sized cargo bay. So, for example, if you're in the Megathon Marauder, which name escapes me, God damn you, Urban, you just bastard Kronos. That's it.
I love my Kronos.
They're great ships. But yeah, I mean, just having twice the number of cap booster charges in there has got to be a big win.
I'm not saying that they're not viable for PvP. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be the most viable solution for teams going into the tournament. I think, again, you're going to end up with at least one support ship that's there just to keep it so you can actually lock. Which, again, if you're going to have a support ship, it should probably be more for things like, more armor tanking than anything else.
Well, we'll see.
More armor wrapping, I should say.
We'll see when the tournament kicks off which way they go on this. I mean, I think the thing...
Here's a question for you, though. Would you only suggest the Kronos, or is there another Vagabond that you would...
Vagabond?
Sorry, embrace that. So would you only suggest the Kronos, or is there another Marauder that you would see being in there? Because I would think stuff like the Farger, I don't think would... Really
no, you wouldn't want the Paladin either. This is not... You really...
I can't think of anything other than the Kronos.
No, I can't. I don't think this is going to be one which the Amar ships are going to like at all, quite frankly. But
no, and like I said, the Vargr as well. I mean, that's barely viable as a Marauder as it is. I mean it's good, but I mean,
I think one thing we can definitely agree on: we won't see any of the Covert Ops Tier 1 equivalents. We won't see any of those at all.
Oh, what, like, the, are they allowing cloaking? They're not allowing cloaking.
Are they allowing cloaking?
They're not. They don't.
No, that'd just be boring.
Yeah.
But no, even if, you know, we won't see any of those at all.
No.
No, definitely not. Why would you bring one? Well, I'd say, why would you fit autocans on a dummy, but...
Yeah, fair enough.
We're just going to keep coming back to that one, because it's such an epic fail. But
I still say you're going to see a lot of your typical circle jerk logistics stuff going on. Like,
well, you're going to see some of that. I mean, you're going to see spider tanking and stuff, but I don't think it's going to be the two logistics ships specially keep the whole team healthy, pathetic DPS situation we had last time.
Yeah.
So...
It'll be interesting. I love the tournaments for this stuff, though. I love it when you watch the first set of fights, and then you think you know what's going to happen with that team the next one, and then they do something to adjust, and it's great fun.
Somebody came up with an article on EVE Tribune about an idea about making it more like PvP, for example, doing it all in an entire system and allowing cloaking and all sorts of stuff. Let's make it more like real PvP.
I had pitched that once, actually, on the forums. This is going back a long ways, but that, I guess the problem then is sheer manpower. I mean, like, you've got the camera ships running around, right? I mean, they're going to have to be everywhere.
Well, this is a problem. Yeah, exactly. This is a problem, is you've only got... If they're using the technology we used on the first EVE TV, which are very likely to be using, you have literally only got two computers plugged into the video mixer. So, unless you want to spend vast amounts of money, and I'm sure they don't.
I think, well, it's usually, you know, at least two camera ships that I've seen in the ones, because I'm usually floating around in the systems taking screenshots and stuff like that.
You have two camera ships, you have a backup. That's what we did on the
first. But I mean, the point is, like, those guys can only be in so many places at once.
Exactly.
And imagine ending up with a completely boring match, people just warping around from planet to planet to planet to planet to planet. I mean, people will be snoring.
That's what I'm saying. Televisually, it might be more like real PvP, but televisually, it would suck.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it sounds like a cool idea, and it was one of the things where I'm kind of going, well, maybe you limit the number of planets, or, you know, you do something to kind of keep it reasonable. But, I mean, real PvP, you know, entails scouting, you got people doing scanning, all sorts of things which really result in groups of ships sitting around and waiting for somebody to call you to warp in on them. So, from an audience standpoint, you're just kind of like, okay, he's dropping a probe.
Now, edited highlights of that might actually work. However, you then lose all the fact about getting it live, which, you know, is one of the big wins of this whole thing. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Oh, he's dropping another probe. He's probing. Oh, wait, we've only got one planet. So they scan down his probe, and now they're warping. And they're making a safe spot, and now they're there. It's like, okay...
It's going to be like a really, really slow Benny Hill chase.
Yes.
I know.
Because that's what everyone loves to watch.
God.
We'll slow this down to 1/5 speed.
Yes. Warp back to -7, Mr. Spock.
See, I think they got a decent thing going with their current format. I don't know. I don't know how, like... Everyone says this every time they do a tournament. It should be more like real PvP, but real PvP really is not as awesome as you might imagine in terms of...
Well, you only remember the really good bits, don't you? You forget about all the time when you just, you know, camping
at gate. Yeah, sitting at a pause.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just wait.
All of a sudden, FC jumps on TeamSpeak. Everyone warp to me at 10! What? Okay. It's like, oh, wow, a fight.
Blimey, you that's know. Unusual.
Yeah, you know... 15-20 minutes later, it's like, well, I'm gonna go park at a pause, do some laundry. You know, like, there's a whole lot of just waiting around that happens sometimes. Depends on your gang.
Yeah, I know, but you see what I mean? The thing about PvP is when it's actually going on, it's great fun, but boy, do you have to work to get there sometimes.
And then you get to the point where, like, you know, typical PvP thing where you're ready, and the other team's ready, And then someone on one side says, you know what, let's just not lose all our ships tonight. And then everyone backs down. It's like, oh, it's like, come on. So that happens sometimes.
Yeah, no backing down in the tournament. I'll tell you something else which is really cool is the prizes. And some of the prizes are a bit meh, but this one is wonderful. You get a statue built to you, to your glory, anywhere you want. In 00, I guess, but your space, I don't know. I mean, it'd be great to put it there in Jita, just outside the station and have people crash into it.
Like, I would imagine there's some limitations on that. Like, in terms of design of the statue.
I'd like a massive statue of Trevidian, please.
My penis right outside Jita 44.
And they're saying we don't make statues that small.
The whole.
Wow.
So, but just in general, though, that seems kind of goofy. But
and I think it's really, really cool. This, I mean, that's the kind of prize you'd really like to have. You know, I mean, that's bling, which nobody can ever take away.
True. True.
Yeah, something unique. Like, I loved it when they were giving out the, you know, unique ships for the tournament prizes. I mean, for example, going back a really long way, the Impok, the Armar Accession tournament.
Yeah, see, that was cool. I remember they named the planets, or named the moons around one of the planets for, yeah, that same, remember Ecliptical got one, and his team got, yeah, so that, stuff like that was pretty neat.
So, more of that with the tournament, because I know for a couple of the early tournaments, they're just giving away motherships, which, you know, at the time were pretty cool. They're very unusual, but just some really unique bling.
Something other than just, like, you know, here's a carrier. You know, something, like, rare ships, like I said, let's bring in, like, there's a lot of ships that aren't even, like, in the game anymore, right? Because they've just been blown to pieces. Let's get some more of them in there. Give us targets. People to hunt. It's like always undocking in it. Let's kill them.
I don't think... If I had a super rare ship... But I said you got the super rare ship in the Immortaranis, you know, and you still fly it, so...
Yeah. Now, note. The original Immortaranis is safe and sound. His brothers, I should say, are not so lucky. I've lost a couple of the Immortaranis type of ships over the course of my tenure down in the south, but only a few. Not approaching, you know,
Far Jung or Groven level, yeah.
Groven level Tyrannus losing. But yeah, no, I mean it works really well. But yeah, there's no tank on that thing. So
where's a Tyrannus? Why, what's the point?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't do much else other than murder. But occasionally, yeah, you get caught in a lag spike or something, and it's like, okay, well. The last one that I lost was actually before the last major sort of change to the client and the servers and stuff, so far, so good. You know, it's amazing how much Tyrannus survivability increases when server and client stability are up as well. It's just...
Yeah.
Shocking. In general, you know.
In general, that's true of pretty much any ship, though. But yeah, especially the ones made of paper.
Yes. Oh, Vagabond.
Anyway, yes. So, Tawny's back. We were hoping to do some preview shows for this again, because those are great fun to do as well. Always no promises, just in case work gets in the way, but we'd really like to. So, keep your ears open for them.
Yeah, I'm hoping we could do something like, you know, like a preview one, and then, like, you remember how we did, like, ones, something like that as well. It's like, now we've seen the qualifying rounds, who do you think's gonna come out on top, you know, and then get everyone together and stick microphones in front of them, let them talk a bunch.
That'd be awesome. We'll do our best for you guys. Well,
yeah, we'll
do it. It's for us as well, because we like doing it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know. Simultimo. Mm-hmm. One interesting thing that came out of the community here recently, and we're talking back sort of early December, Slainpede of Twilight Fleet, weird name, but anyway, has done this thing called the Moon Map Project.
Ooh, seen this? Nope.
Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let me just read from the article. So basically what this person has done is make moon information public. So over the course of months, I would imagine, gone around, scanned the moons out to find out what ore is in, or what moon minerals are in each moon, and now they've made that material entirely public, and it's, that's a pretty big deal. Not only is it a huge effort, which, my god, that must have taken a ton of time, but extremely handy for anyone who's looking to sort of, you know, go out there and see, you know, what areas are kind of profitable to them, or if they're thinking about doing any kind of thing like moon mining, where should they go? You know, what areas actually have what minerals and what moons? So, like, it's I don't know. You take a look at it. I just sent you the link. It's pretty awesome.
I'm just looking at it now. It is very awesome. It always amazes me how there's so many people put so much time into, you know, this community and this game, but just doing really cool stuff like that.
This is insane. I mean, like, it's... This is information which normally people find out and they don't want anyone to know.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's like, oh, well, I know where that one really awesome Dysprosium moon is, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and a lot of people know this information, but they don't make it public, even though there's people out there who do know it. It's just typically not well known to everybody. Not, sure as hell, not freely given to the community, which is what this guy has done, and his buddies, apparently. So, hats off to you, sir. That's unbelievable. And I think a lot of people have done some fact-checking on this to make sure that things are kind of kosher and more often. Like, I think it's pretty much on the level.
Awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, big, big thank you for that. What's his name again, sorry?
Slane Peed.
Thank you very much for that, gentleman from Twilight Fleet. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, apart from anything else, it'll tell you where some big fights are going to be if you want to gatecrash some of them.
Possibly. Well, I mean, it's interesting because you could probably take this and look and see, well, this is why they're fighting over that area. Because, like, well... And it's nice that he's actually got the overview completely, so you can say, you know, by region, how many of any particular kind of moon do they actually have. So you can kind of go, aha, so this is why everyone's fighting over whatever. Right, because they have like a Dysprosium moon or a whole bunch of Neodymium moons or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Promethium. Promethium.
Tasty.
Tasty Promethium. So yeah, good stuff. Other than that, other than melting snowballs.
Oh, that sucked. I didn't get even a chance to throw them at anybody this year and make them shoot me in high sec.
These are... Although, you know, given the fact that work was really crazy, I didn't get a chance to log in and use them, but I didn't get a chance to check whether or not anyone was actually doing that, because it was great fun before, going to the Jita or something and taking a shot at somebody, or, you know, and then getting shot by them with a real gun and watching Concord come in and melt them.
The thing is, though, half the time in Jita, you just have to lock somebody and they'll start shooting back.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I hope someone got some pretty good use of other snowballs, because now they're melted.
Yep, you've just got a puddle of water, but...
Really, did you have anything more than that before? Not really.
Well, they had them, I just didn't use them. And now they're gone!
Yeah, I was being zen about it, but, yeah. Snowballs. Now I got, like, two melted piles of snowballs. My first bunch melted as well. Damn it.
CCP have taken away both your balls.
Wow. My balls. You like talking about my balls, don't you? What's up with you talking about my balls?
Moving along, then.
Thank God.
You are still doing your comic... You're still doing your comic, but you're still doing your column over at Massive Gamer as well.
Yeah, actually, still doing that weekly basis, although in the holidays we skipped a day, but... my last one is a kind of a year in review of EVE 2008, so feel free to check it out. James Egan over at Massively did a year in review and heavily referenced the article, which is really cool. He gave a lot of props to me on that one, so thank you, James. Glad you found it useful. So, yeah, I mean, it's been pretty well received by people, I think, who've read it. People that I know, at least, have read it, said it was pretty good. So, yeah, check it out if you like.
That is very good.
It's by no means, you know, an incredibly detailed article. Like, there's so much that goes on in EVE in a year that you can't necessarily catch everything, but I think I catch most of the major points. And then actually after I had submitted it off, I realized I left out the portion about the Tech 2 component fiasco at the end of the year, but I figured I'd leave it on a positive note.
So. Yeah, well, it's nice article, and enjoying working for Dana.
Dana's cool. Dana's awesome. Yeah. We've established that already.
Yes, we have. But, you know, I'm hoping to keep fluffing his ego so he buys us lunch again.
Yeah, no, it's going well. It's like I said, he's a great guy to work with. And I have a lot of freedom in terms of what topics to kind of pick for it, so that's pretty good. Yeah. So I could slag you next one. Yeah, I think I might do that.
Yeah.
Why Urban is a douche.
That's not slagging me. Do it properly. I want proper insults.
Okay, I'll come up with something. But, yeah, it's a great little site if you guys haven't checked it out, massivegamer.com. So, what's going on in the community?
Well, this is just a quick one. You may have heard the dulcet tones of La Vista Vista, or Chief Inspector La Vista, on our little intro way, way back at the start of the show. Well, for complicated reasons, there's problems with the doing any more WDA Industries for now. Turn, though, he's going to be doing a show on EVE Radio starting next Sunday, I believe, from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock GMT. Well, it's too early for you to get up, obviously.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping they rerun it at a proper time zone.
I imagine he'd actually put it out on the podcast feed, because that would be awesomeness. Hint, hint.
Indeed. yeah, well, one of these days maybe he'll do me a favor and write up his show notes for me, and then we'll put it on there.
Yeah, well, not our podcast feed, his one. Okay, they got the industry one.
But I know, but it's also the industry one on the WDA side as well. So.
But
one stop.
Yeah, shop. Before that, he's actually off to Iceland to do the CSM meeting.
Indeed. I don't know if we covered CSM 2, but CSM 2 is in. Yay.
We did, and yay.
Did we?
Yay. And they're off there to have their proper meeting in Iceland with CCP, you know, their strokey beard meeting. Mm-hmm. I think Lavista's probably too young to have a beard, to be honest.
You could do the peach fuzz thing, but I mean, have you been keeping up on what's sort of been talked about in CSM 2 so far? I've not.
I haven't either, but I don't feel bad at all. Mm. What do you want? Public service broadcasting? We're not the right place for that. So, what they're doing is, obviously, there's going to be a kind of investigation, see what the CCP investigation into the Tech 2 side of things is doing.
How much actual serious information do you think we're going to get out of that?
It depends how far they've actually gone into the discussion. There are various little things, buffs to Minmata capital ships is one coming up, I believe, things with the new hotkeys, things like that. So yeah, pretty good.
Should be interesting to see.
Well, we'll find out. We should actually raise an issue to like make inbox suck less. The in-game client.
Oh my god. Give me folders or something. Something I can organize my inbox into.
God, yeah.
Or give me the option of actually pulling the stuff out. For the love of God, I just want to be able to export my inbox. I can clean it all out and I can deal with it later. Something.
Exactly. Just anything. Yeah, anything, please. Make it easier to find out where your new mail is. Things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can organize it by unread, but then the second you read something, it
exactly,
goes back
that's
to
what
some
I mean,
random
yeah.
information.
Exactly.
It's like we've randomly assigned everyone in your message a number, and we're going to order by that, and the next time you do something, we'll do that again.
But we won't actually tell you what these numbers are.
Of course. No. That would make sense. But nothing about it does. They definitely need to do something with the email client. And again, if they could just let me extract it, I'd be happy.
But obviously...
It seems like something that would be best suited for an API thing. Like, give us the ability to take it out of the API.
Well, even that, put it... You know, we've got a web client built into the game, so actually have it available both on the web and inside, you know, the game through a web client. Can't be that hard.
At least... just... I actually would only be asking for like a read-only version. Because, I mean, the second you open it up to sending and receiving, then you've just got out of game spamming happening like crazy. But
I agree totally with read only. I do completely agree with that. But yeah, you know, so give us jobs. We know stuff.
Well, I think it's been an issue that for a long time people have complained about, so hopefully they do something soon.
Another bit of news. This was actually in The Guardian. Did you see this? Guardian is a major broadsheet newspaper in the UK, and they had an article on just how much things in Iceland are sucking. One of the sections in it... where are we going down? On three shiny floors of a former fish factory, CCP, a company best known for the computer game World Eve Online, blah, 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 blah. And then we got this bit, quotes from Dr. E, the economics dude. To make new games, we need foreign investors, says Dr. Iog. The present economy restrictions are putting... The present currency restrictions are putting us in a straitjacket. We're in talks with the government, but if we can't let capital in, we might be compelled to leave Iceland, even though that would be against our wishes.
Come to Canada! We love you.
Yeah, they won't come to the UK, I'll tell you that, after what happened.
Yeah, but no, tax-wise, Canada's actually, and other countries as well, have they provide tax breaks for gaming companies. I don't know why specifically that, but they do. Tech companies, I think, in general, but yeah.
That's pretty cool. No idea what's going on with that, but
if you
leave Iceland, as I said, given what happened, I think they're not going to go to the UK.
Yeah, it would probably be a good idea to stay clear.
Blimey,
especially with all the anti-terrorism business going
dodgy.
On there.
Dodgy, very wrong. Sorry, Iceland. Blimey, just reading the next article here. The auto industry in Iceland, sales have plummeted 93% compared to the same time last year. Jesus Christ.
Things are really not good in Iceland right now. But, I mean, people obviously need to understand that CCP as a company has money that isn't in ISK, and their servers are not in Iceland. They're hosted in London. So, as a company, they're doing pretty good.
Well, their income is in dollars and euros, so that's probably good.
Exactly.
But yeah, I imagine there's still not much fun being there.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot more to, like, you know, that than just, like, what the company's doing. It's the people who work for the company, and they have to live in the cities in Iceland and buy things from people. I mean, it's just still... what a mess.
Yeah, what a mess indeed. Anyway, you said you've got a comic somewhere or something.
Not my comic. I don't know if you used to read Goo Comics at all. I used to read this quite a lot, but then they kind of... Goo Comics is basically from the EverQuest days. Comes from the /GU command for Guild Chat. But anyway, they've subsequently, since EverQuest, it's now, you know, a long time ago, they do, like, a general MMO comic. So they did one of Eve, and it was pretty clever about Eve and Iceland's economy. And I sent you that by MSN, so you can go take a look at it.
Ooh, blimey. Well, we'll put the link in the show notes. Yes, free fall is a good term here. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Hopefully CCP will do well. And hopefully Iceland will be back on his feet very soon.
Indeed.
And, oh yes, I'll put the link in for the Guardian article as well in the show notes. It got picked up in a load of places, actually. It was on Massively and, Gamer Sutra, places like that.
Yeah. This is not little news. So, yeah. So, just one other little thing that's kind of related to what we do here is on the actual Warp Drive Active site, warpdriveactive.com, I started to do sort of more timely kind of blogging of the stuff that's going on in EVE. Right now, I've started with a community news section that you'll notice when you go there. It's a new category of posting, but it's basically just as things happen during the course of a day or a week or whatever, I'll usually knock out a blog about it. So just various little interesting little tidbits that occur. So it's probably stuff that we'll end up chatting about on the podcast, you know, at the end of the week, but just figured it was kind of an interesting idea just to get stuff out to people sooner rather than later. So check it out. And I started with community news, and probably what'll happen is, like, there'll probably be a section in there for Alliance stuff. But that's coming, so.
Oh, and I've just got another little bit of community news. That we've got another concurrent user record, 45,186. Blimey.
That's awesome.
I remember the parties when we beat 10,000 concurrent.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a lot of users. I mean, we're not. It's not like we're saying we're doubling the user accounts here, but that's good that EVE is still growing like that. You know, especially in a game that really, I mean, we're still growing. We haven't seen emulation yet, so it's not like we're, you know, tapping that female market in a huge way right now. But just, you know, I think it really says something where they have sort of succeeded at this slow but progressive growth. Which is a good thing, because not all MMOs can claim that. So it's not 11.5 million, okay, but it's still a pretty decent chunk of change.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't say no, would we?
Irony. And one other interesting little tidbit really quick. Eon Edition 14 is out. Of course, has not arrived here.
Or here.
Yet. Yeah, you know, although people are getting it, so just FYI, if you do subscribe, keep a lookout in there. It's got some of this Tech 3 stuff that we were talking about before. Got some stuff about the expansion. So, yeah.
Well,
Eon.
Yep, hopefully we'll have a look at it before the next show, and we'll be able to talk about it at more length.
Yay!
Anyway, that's all we got time for this week, or more to the point, all we're going to bother to do. Hopefully, as I said, we'll be back on a good recording schedule. We're doing our best.
Yep.
And yeah, see you next week, everyone, hopefully.
Indeed. What's the matter?
What, you don't want people to fly safe anymore? Are you like Silicon Buddha, when flying safe is no fun at all?
Bad for the economy. If you fly reckless, one might say. Yeah. You might, you have to buy new ships, inject money into the economy of EVE. It's a good thing. We need this now. Spend, spend, spend.
Especially on Tech 2.
Yes. Good night, and good luck.
What he gave to me.